You're listening to the Power Word Gold Podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Flux, and now, on with the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Gold Podcast, episode number 21. It is Friday, the 4th of November, 2011. I'm your host, Flux, along with our co-host, Fade.
Hello.
And this, yeah, this is episode 21. This is the first episode that we're recording since Powered Gold kind of went on there on our low power mode, meaning that we only record the show when A, we get a chance to, B, there's something cool going on, and there is some good stuff going on, Fade. So we're gonna record that today. And
plus the podcast 21, so it can drink now and gamble, so...
So unless we were in Europe, and then it could have been drinking, I think, for a few episodes now. Let's see. So, Fade, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself or let everybody know who you are, how they can get a hold of you, the usual?
I'm Fade. I write the blog Nerf Fades, which is nerffades.blogspot.com. I'm sure I'm in the Powered Gold blog directory. I'm on Twitter with @FadeTastic. And I'm on YouTube at Fadetastic as well.
Awesome. And if you want to get a hold of Powered Gold, we are at PoweredGold.net. You can find us on Twitter at Powered Gold and Facebook.com/PoweredGold. And we also have a Google Plus account that we are using. A little news. Oh, to get to the Google Plus account, go to PoweredGold.net and click on the link at the top that says Google Plus. A little news on that front. Apparently, Google Plus, I don't know if people are familiar with Google Plus. When they came out, they said, oh, you have to use your real names. You can't use pseudonyms or anything like that. So I was like, okay. So I ended up using my real name, but they're going to change it to the point where they're going to have some sort of functionality to have pseudonyms. So,
that's good. You may remember I did have a Google Plus for the blog, mm-hmm. and then I got rid of it because I didn't want to get banned from mm-hmm. Google. So that'll be nice to come back in.
Yeah, so right now if you go to our Google Plus account, it's using my real name, although it's lowercase, and the lowercase my real name is my Google Plus account I use for the blogs. But hopefully I'll get it switched over to Flux Data once they figure out what they're doing with pseudonyms. And I think that's about it. Yeah, facebook.com/PowerGold, I already said. We have a few other blogs if you're interested. One called Warcraft Looks, which is warcraftlooks.blogspot.com, and that one's devoted to finding cool-looking items in World of Warcraft for transmogrification and dress-up and that kind of stuff. And let's just go ahead and jump right into it here. I was going to just take a few minutes to let everybody know kind of what's been going on my side of the fence, if you will. Work has kind of changed a little bit here. It's been getting a little busy. So that's why the blog ended up kind of going down, or not going down. That's why it went down in a flame of glory. No, that's kind of why I've been posting less on there, but I'm still there. I'm still paying attention to things that are going on. It's just that most of the time that now is going to be on the weekends. I'm going to work really hard to get at least one post out a week, and I'm hoping to reach episode 25 of the podcast, hopefully by the end of the year. So that's my goal. But let's go ahead and just jump into some of the things that we were going to talk about today. And as today's the first day that I've been able to play this week, because for one, I had a technical difficulty with my computer, and wow, all of a sudden just decided to start crashing my video driver, and not just that, but it would reset my computer like blue screen of death, which is never
terrible.
A good thing to have happen. And so first I got mad at my computer for crashing because I couldn't play WoW, and then I got mad at myself for getting mad about not being able to play WoW, and I just like said, fine, I'm just not going to, I think it was Monday that this happened, I'm like, fine, I'm just not going to play WoW, you know, all week, and it's kind of like when you realize that you have a little bit of addictive tendencies that to the point where you're getting upset that you're not able to play. And then you get upset that you get upset. But I had put in a request, and today I realized, hey, I have a second World of Warcraft installation that I've used in the past for playing World of Warcraft on my iPad, which I'd done in the past with an app. I think it's called I don't remember.
I don't have an iPad, so I wouldn't.
Yeah, it allowed you to stream your desktop onto your iPad, and I could play World of Warcraft with an iPad, which is kind of fun. But then I actually started using it for the EU server when I was playing on the EU for a little while. So I had the second account, and every time I ran my Curse client, it's like, I'd have to update all of my add-ons for my main client, and then I would have to update all my add-ons for my secondary client. I'm like, why am I doing this? Every single time I'm like, why am I doing this? I'm like, I don't know. But luckily today I was able to switch that account back over to be used in the US, and that one is working. So cross my fingers that one keeps working, and I'll just leave my main installation for now, and I don't know. But Blizzard support was actually pretty helpful. They're trying to help me figure out what's going on. So they said maybe it was heat, video card, it was getting overheated or something, and so I cleaned out my computer, and yeah, I'm sure everybody that cleans out their computer realizes I should have done this a lot sooner. There is just nasty dust everywhere. So as it is right now, I can play World of Warcraft, which is good. So I've been playing it today, and the first thing I wanted to talk about is I noticed that... Oh, I was going to ask you, Fade... when you start up your launcher, did you see my little post I put in Twitter about if people's launchers had a certain name in?
I didn't see the
picture. It's a picture, and the name of it's an advertisement for the guild recustomization, mm-hmm. meaning you could change your name of your guild. But there's a goblin and there's a gnome, and
it switches from like gnomish engineers to goblin sappers.
Correct, yeah. But the name of the character is what I was interested in, because on mine it says Tork, T-O-R-K, which is actually one of my character's names. So
it says the same thing to me, too. I think that's just... They just happened to choose the same name.
It's just very, very strange, yeah. I've had that name since BC, and while I was doing... that was kind of my main character in Burning Crusade, was Tork, and since I was playing in Burning Crusade, and you go to Ogorilla, there's an ogre there named Tork, T-O-R-K. So I was just kind of like, hey, and I took a screenshot of me in front of the NPC that had the same exact name. And Tork
there's
is all
NPC in Stonetown Mountains with my real life name, and it's like a merchant, and I'm like, yes, making gold even in my NPC form.
Well, Tork is also T-O-R-K is also a company that makes toilet paper roll products. Since I've been able to play today, I've started talking to people. Oh, going back, so the Guardian Cubs showed up on my launcher as being available, the $10 ones, and. I did
the legal gold buying cubs.
The legal quote unquote gold buying, yeah. I did a post about this a ways back. Let's see here. It was in October. Yeah, it was October 10th, called How to Boil a Frog, Thoughts on Tradable Blizzard Store Pets. And in that one, I basically said Blizzard's working over the time to just make us accept more and more of these in-game transactions. And in the past, none of them had ever, besides with the exception of the trading card game, had ever kind of been a quote-unquote somewhat legal way to buy gold.
And the trading card items were always so expensive that you really had to be able to invest. Well, this is more of a small investment anyone can make of $10.
Yeah, Blizzard... I don't know how much Blizzard makes off of each trading card. Like, I know, like, say the packs, they sell them for $1 wholesale or $2 wholesale or whatever, and so each card might be worth 20 cents, whereas now they've, like, been able to basically directly from their own site sell an item. And even in the FAQ that they gave The FAQ that they gave on it, it says, quote, could I put the Guardian Cub up on the auction house to try to make some gold if I wanted to? And Blizzard's answer is, while our goal is to offer players alternative ways to add a pet store pet to their collection, we're okay with it if some players choose to use the Guardian Cub as a safe and secure way to acquire a little extra in-game gold, without turning to a third-party gold selling service, to third-party gold selling services. However, please keep in mind that there's never any guarantee that someone will purchase what you put on this up for sale in the auction house or how much they will pay. Also, it's important to note that we take a firm stance against buying gold from outside sources because in most cases, the gold these companies offer has been stolen from your from compromised accounts. While some players might be able to acquire some extra gold by putting the cub up in the auction house, that's the preferable way to players contributing to the gold selling quote. Oh, sorry, let me read some of that. That's preferable to players contributing to the gold selling quote black market and account theft. So Blizzard's basically saying, sure, go ahead and try to... I mean, they play it off like, oh, it's the account security side of it, which I can understand for them is important for man hours they have to spend to combat it for the bad images they get. But that's what's been going on. And I started to look on my own server, and my own server, they were going for about... Some people were offering them for 7,000 in trade. They were like 8,000 to 20,000. There was about 15 or so cubs on 15 each on Horde and Alliance. So I put out a tweet about this, and Calior got back to me and let me know that I don't know where he got his data, maybe under my journal or something, that he said there's around 20,000 cubs up for sale right now on the American servers, and the average price is right around 11,000 gold for the cubs. So now, being careful in how I say this, at least right now, people selling them are trying to get around 1,100 gold per dollar that they spent. So they bought the cub for $10. They're selling it for 11,000. They're trying to sell it for... Now, let's just make a huge assumption and say that there's... For simplicity's sake, let's say that they are selling for 11,000 gold, which isn't really that much gold to somebody. I mean, it's kind of expensive. But for there being 15 or so, I mean, I could see a pet collector definitely spending 11,000 on it if they have some money.
Not a smart one.
Yeah, well, I know that they're definitely going to go down in price as time goes on, and I'm going to have you talk about that here in just a second. But to finish off what I was going to say, if you were able to sell cubs nonstop at 11,000 gold and it cost you $10 each to buy the cub, you could quote-unquote buy a gold cap in the game for about $900. $900 US, you could buy 1 million gold legally through if they sold. Now, Fade, you
don't forget, if they're selling them on the auction house as well, you're going to take the auction house cut out of every sale, so minus 5%.
Okay, all right. That's true. Fade, one of the things I wanted to also have you talk about was because you said that you had been paying attention to the prices of the cubs. I've only been paying attention... I haven't been playing all week, so I've only been paying attention today. What's the prices been like on your server, and what do you kind of feel about where they're going, where they'll end up?
People started out charging 18 to 20,000 gold per cub, which is ridiculous because they're not that in demand, and of course a lot of people suddenly bought them, thinking they were going to get rich. So within a few hours, they'd gone from 20,000 asking price to 8,000 asking price in trade, with 15 plus on the Alliance Auction House. I personally will not ever pay more than 4,000 per pet for these, because it's an unlimited supply, anyone can get them, they're not that rare. I mean, anyone with $10 can get this. It's not that hard. Mm-hmm. So the fact that people are trying to get so much is pretty surprising.
Yeah.
But the price is just going down and down on Argent Dawn. On Horde, it's actually a little bit different. On Alliance, like I said, they're down to about 8,000. On Horde, they're still like 12,000. So, and there's less players on the Horde side, so that's probably why, is they just probably have less people selling them,
mm-hmm.
Less people competing and undercutting them. In regards to how much it would cost to buy a gold cap, so to speak, when I was trying to figure out exactly how much people might be charging for these, I just did some quick, you know, Googling, buy WoW gold, etc. And it looked like $10 at most of the non-legit sites would buy about 8,000 gold. So, though I don't think it'll stick around 8,000, at least that makes more sense than 20,000.
Yeah, it was funny. I've done a little math here, napkin math, if you will, on what I had originally said, that if it was going for around 11,000, it would cost about 900 gold, or 900 gold, see here, I'm mixing it, $900 to buy 1,000,000 gold. If it drops to 4,000, like you said, it'll actually cost $2,500 to buy 1,000,000. So the price of the cub going down actually means it's going to get more and more expensive for, let's just say, the theoretical person trying to buy 1,000,000 gold. It actually gets quite a bit more expensive. So it's just kind of a funny interaction, like, oh, the people want, like, you know, you want to buy it for less. Obviously somebody else wants to sell it for more, but if you buy it for less, then, you know, I don't know. It's kind of a funny little, you know, I just thought it was funny that if it drops to 4,000, it'll take 25. Because essentially what it brought up in my mind was, although it's really rough and we don't know how much they're selling for, I mean, over time we'll start to get an idea for how much they're selling for properly. Like, oh yeah, it's been like, you know, 6K for the last 2 months or whatever. It kind of like puts a dollar value on gold, which is kind of, I mean, I know that sounds funny, but since I don't buy gold, I've never gone really to gold selling sites. I don't really associate money with, you know, real money with gold. The fact that 1,000,000.
Oh, yeah, you didn't play Diablo 2. You didn't think about buying the SOJs to buy the runes.
No, I know what I know that SOJ stands for Stones of Jordan, but that's only because that was such a huge, like, thing. Yeah, so the fact that 1,000,000 gold kind of could associate to $900 kind of is strange to me, because it makes it almost seem like if you were earning money, like you only earned, you know, if you were earning 1,000,000 cap and then instead you were earning money, you would have earned $900, which is like not nothing, but for, you know, a lot of people, that's, you know.
See, that's a problem. You can't attach that kind of stuff to WoW. Because, like, my boyfriend, we always were like, what would happen if we tried to sell our accounts? Not that we ever would. But he's like, he'll like add up
check
a slash
Craigslist.
Blade, which is over the,
oh,
like,
yeah,
which is like over a year or something.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I want minimum wage for every hour I played the game. So he wants like hundreds of thousands of gold.
Do you want to know it's a funny story about that? At one point in my WoW career, I decided to use the add-on called All Played, which basically you log into all your alts and then it'll just give you a tally of how much time you've played.
Altaholic will do that too.
Oh, you shouldn't have told me that. No, but anyways, I added up. Actually, this was even before I had All Played. I just added up all the hours and all the characters I'd played, and it was roughly, it's almost exactly 20% of the time of the past 5 years had been playing World of Warcraft, which means essentially in 5 years, one of those years was devoted to playing World of Warcraft. And it was like a very sobering, like, realization, like 20% of a day is 4 hours. No. Yeah.
Don't ask me to do math.
Hold on, I'll figure it out. I have a calculator here. Around 5 hours a day. Now, granted, like, some of those days had 1 hour, some had none, some had 10 hours. But over, like, over time, and I was like, wow, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time. 4 hours, that's like half of a full-time job. It's like a part-time job over a set amount of time.
The thing is, I don't know about you, but like I estimate at least 30% of my played time is my character sitting in Stormwind while I'm actually off doing dishes or making the bed or at school. So
yeah, that's not me. I don't. If I'm playing, I'm usually doing something right. Actually, well, the closest thing I have is like doing Auction House stuff while I'm watching something on TV. But you know, and I think it's just a testament to the fact that Blizzard made a game that people enjoy playing that much, because you know, if you people might think 4 hours a day, 5 hours a day is a lot, but if you think about how much time people spend watching TV, you know, I would imagine that probably your average American probably spends 2 to 3, almost a little bit more hours time a day watching TV. Not everybody, but like, you know, it's just one of those things. But yeah, so the real money transaction thing and how it's going to play into WoW, I kind of don't really think it's going to... This is going to be a little esoteric, but I kind of think it relates. For those of you that don't know, I've worked in game design. I've worked on two different MMORPGs as in game design, also in marketing and research and PR and that kind of stuff. And there's a story Ultima Online. Now, when Ultima Online started, it was hardcore PvP. When you got killed, people could take your stuff. People could take your houses, kick you out, lock you out of your houses. It was pretty much open world, open free-for-all, no rules, PvP to the max kind of thing. What started happening, though, was that eventually they added in another type of Ultima Online. I don't know if it was another server or if it was another type of account you could create. But essentially, they created one that was more like a PvE, where you couldn't get ganked, people couldn't take your stuff, and slowly over time, the people that liked playing the PvE version outweighed the people that liked playing the PvP version, and that now became kind of the norm of Ultima Online kind of thing, where it's kind of like where it shifts like over time, where the game changes over time so Ultima was more likely to cater to the quote unquote casuals or PvPers or PvEers or whatever, because there was just more of them and it became more and more popular. And I think a similar thing has happened in World of Warcraft, in that originally World of Warcraft was designed kind of along the lines of EverQuest, and MMOs at the time were very kind of hardcore. You had big death penalties in EverQuest, and a lot of those things kind of changed. But even if you look at vanilla World of Warcraft, it was a lot harder than it is now. And so the whole point of my story is that if more people accept these kind of microtransactions or real money transactions, or reject them, then that will become kind of the new norm. And I think that that's what Blizzard's trying to do and has been doing for a while. And that was the point of my post that I had made, is that if more people accept paying money, real money, for something in a game or in World of Warcraft, it'll become more and more prevalent. Do you want to kind of tell me a little bit about how, because I also run a blog about Diablo, because they're going to have, Diablo 3 is going to have the real money auction house where you'll be able to buy items with real money. Do you want to kind of give me a little history lesson on how real money was interacted with Diablo 2, Fade? Because I know you were at least familiar with the game a lot more than me.
I played the game. I never spent money on Diablo other than buying the games, of course. Mostly because I was like 13 at the time and didn't have my own money to spend. But basically, for those who have never played a Diablo game, and I'm talking specifically about Diablo 2 here because I didn't play Diablo 1 online very much, but basically, it's not an MMO. It's not a persistent world MMO. You'd create a game, which is kind of like creating a server, but it's a really tiny server, and only like 8 other people could join or so. You and your friends or complete strangers could join, and then within the server you could play an entire run of the game from Act 1 to Act 5. And so basically what people would do with they is they'd create this game and they'd go kill a specific boss, be it Andariel, Mephisto, etc. Mephisto runs were kind of the big thing because Hell Difficulty Mephisto dropped SOJs, which were pretty valuable. And then there were Countess runs because once runes became the big thing, she dropped runes, so Hell Countess runs. But basically, gold in Diablo 2 meant nothing. It was next to worthless. And the real value was, it started out being in SOJs, which are this ring that was useful to everyone. And there was no soulbound equipment. You could take it off and trade it to someone else. So SOJs were a big currency. And then eventually runes, which were kind of similar to gems. They had gems too, but they also had runes. They were kind of the meta gem, I guess. But and you can combine them to make like legendary weapons kind of a thing. And this was back before Blizzard really said, you don't own the item, we own the item, so we're not going to let you sell it. So you could go to eBay and buy SOJs. Like, this was still allowed on eBay at the time. And so I never got to be into it because I was only like 13, but I always kind of imagined being, you know, having that perfect magic find sorceress, because there was actually a stat in the game that just made you find better, more high-quality items, which was magic find. So I was going to make a character that was all just about farming these things, and I was going to get rich. And so that's the first time I really started thinking about money from playing video games. But, of course, I was too young, and the game eventually became not so popular. So still a great game, though.
Do you see something similar happening with Diablo 3, and do you think it could actually spill into World of Warcraft to the point where Blizzard will directly sell gold or will directly sell armor sets or anything like that?
I honestly don't know, because I'm personally the kind of player who doesn't like these microtransactions. Mm-hmm. I mean, I certainly partake of them since they do exist, which is unfortunately encouraging them to create more, but
do as I say, not as I do.
Yes, exactly. I don't like the idea of getting extra stuff because you have real-life money. Mm-hmm. However, once I can make real-life money from playing Diablo 3, I guess it won't bother me so much. But basically, I think there's probably enough of enough people out there with a similar mindset to me that Blizzard would probably get in some pretty big trouble if they were just selling SOJs, mm-hmm. so to speak. Maybe just like how your frog post kind of said, maybe slowly over the years they might work up to that. But I don't think it's in the near future that we could just flat out buy armor or weapons or something of that sort.
I think if it does get introduced at some point, it will be introduced with some other major change to the game. And the one I would think would probably make the most sense is a transition of World of Warcraft from a paid game to a free game with microtransactions supporting it rather than subscription fees supporting it. However, I don't really think that will be necessary until there's another big MMO for people to play, which would most likely be Titan, whatever they're working on. If it turns out to be a significantly similar game, and the fact that people, because essentially Blizzard's building their own competition. Like, you know, there's been games like in the past with EverQuest 2, which, you know, or Asheron's Call 2 is actually even a better example, where Asheron's Call was popular, then Asheron's 2 came out, but the people didn't all move from Asheron's Call. So essentially Blizzard's just spending all the money to build a game that's just going to, if, let's say Titan has a $15 a month subscription fee, if people stop playing WoW and start playing Titan, they're just still giving them the same amount of money that they were giving them before. So I think that eventually World of Warcraft will move to a free to play model with microtransactions, but it won't be till Blizzard starts to see even significant more big dip to the game or their new game comes out. So, but I think they're trying all these little things now to kind of test the waters and see how much pushback the players are willing to give. And if there's more players that are not willing to say anything, then there is people, you know, then we might see more of these BOE. The other thing about the BOE Cub that kind of disappointed me, and I wish that they had, I understand why the Cub can't give to all of your characters on the account like the other pets do. But I wish that there was an option for that. I know that... See, that's what makes me suspicious about why are they doing this, you know? Because if I could buy... Even make it a little bit more expensive. $15, I can buy a cub that binds to my account that gives all my characters it. Or $10, you know, I can buy one. Because I don't... When I like all my characters to have the pets that I buy. I don't really just want to have to buy one for my one pet collector. You know, that kind of devalues the pet in my estimation.
Well, and I am not very knowledgeable on what's coming in 5.0 with the pets, but aren't pets going to be account-wide in 5.0 for the pet battle system? Mm-hmm. So
that's true.
Essentially it is going to be on all of your characters
that's
soon
true.
Enough.
Yeah, I think from what I saw at BlizzCon stream, or I read somewhere that, yeah, it could essentially you would have an account-wide pet journal that pets get added to. And so I guess if I don't know, maybe that would just allow the, well, I don't know, like if you train up your pet on one character, is it then available to everybody, or do you pull a copy of the pet out of the journal and then make that kind of your, like, you know what I mean? I don't know exactly.
Sorry, water.
That's okay. I don't know exactly how it's going to ultimately work. So, yeah, I guess, you're true. You're right. It might get to that point, but right now it's not going to, you know, I'm not buying it. Whereas if it was a bind to your whole account for $10, I would buy it. But that's just me. I'm like you. I don't like mixing real world money. I don't know. Like you said, if it's Diablo 3, like I already have a blog, diablo3forprofit.blogspot.com, that's going to hopefully, you know, what are you going to talk about making real money with Diablo 3 or how that interacts. So, all right, enough of the Guardian Cub. It'll be interesting to see how it relates over time and the price. And it should be interesting to see if anybody starts complaining about, oh, I bought it and I wanted to sell it, but I can only sell it for, you know.
Honestly, I think they're just going to be a flash in the pan topic that no one cares about in a few weeks. It's not a real gold-making strategy. It's for the people who don't know how to make gold any other way. Yeah. That's how I view them.
For people that do, if the price does settle, though, let's say it settles at $6,000 or something, it is technically a viable way to buy yourself gold if for some reason you need to go onto a new server and you think you can sell it. You could buy it. Like if you, for some reason, you're going to a new server, you don't know anybody, you're restarting on a new server and it looks like they'll sell for a set amount, you could spend $10 and have 6,000 gold on your new server, which, you know. All right. I wanted to take a, just a short, chance to let everybody know that Power Word Gold got its first donation, anonymous donation, or unsolicited donation. We haven't ever talked about it too much, but there is a donation button on Power Word Gold. It's at the top, and then there's also a little title, but we got a donation from somebody recently, and we just wanted to say thanks to them. And if you think Power Word Gold is cool and you want to give us a donation, you know, go ahead. I'm a little embarrassed about it, but not really. You know, we put a lot of time and energy into the blog, or we have since we started it, and we love doing it, and it's nice to you know, have people show us appreciation, so thank you so much.
We being Flux's alternate personalities. I'm just a guest here.
Do you want me to split it with you, Fate? I could split.
No.
Make you, give you a cut. No.
I'm just trying to say I take no credit for Power Word Gold. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, but yeah. Well, you know, you're
or blame, if you'd prefer to say I don't take any blame for Power Word Gold.
Either. So yeah, there's a donate button on there. If you want to donate to Power Word Gold, you can go find it and click on it. And what was I going to say? Oh, that's not necessarily the first donation that we've got, though. I wanted to say, early on, I don't know if you guys remember our early videos, we're kind of like 30 seconds and then stop and 30 seconds and stop because we didn't have money to buy fraps. And, some people pitched in and donated to buy us wraps. So we have a great community out there. And monetizing a site, honestly, is one of the trickier things to do.
That's why I don't do it online. Like, not even going to deal with it.
There's a couple different ways to do it. The way that we've... And actually, I'm just going to let everybody know right now that I use the plural for the blog almost all the time. So when you say, when I say we've done this and we've done that, like, don't get mad, because I've had people put comments like, stop using the plural form. It's you. But I don't really consider myself the blog. Like, I'm not the blog. So, but the way we've chosen to do it is to put advertising on the site. And there's a few ads around in a couple different spots. That's the only way that we monetize the site right now. We had plans to do a gold guide. We were able to acquire the rights to Bangkok Bill's gold guide. And while we don't talk about it a lot, we actually released that guide for free. So if you're looking for a gold guide that you want, the free version is actually always there. The link's right in the top of Powerward Gold. You click on free gold guide and it'll take you there. At one point we had wanted to make a version that we would actually have people pay for, and it's still like on our brains. But that's, if somebody gives us money besides donating, I mean, great. That's awesome if you donate. I want to try to give them something worthwhile. So that's the other thing. And actually, today we got accepted into YouTube's monetization program. So that means that we will get a little bit of ad revenue from our YouTube videos. So that's kind of cool. So, I know that, I don't think it was on the last podcast, but, Undermined Journal has been starting to kind of work out different ways that they're going to try to monetize the site too. So that's kind of one of the things. It's not necessarily gold making related, but it's kind of the thing that people that, you know, run blogs have to kind of consider and figure out how they're going to do it. So, all right. Well, let's go ahead and take a break really quick here. We will see you guys in just a second. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Powerward Gold Podcast, episode number 21. I'm your host, Flux, along with our co-host, Fade.
Hola.
First off, Fade, when we were talking about things, to talk about, which is kind of funny, you had said that you had been noticing TCG mounts showing up on your server, and I had actually done a post, I want to say 2 months ago, maybe, that there was going to be these trading card game local competitions.
Mm-hmm. I remember that post.
Where the winners were going to get, certain trading card games, and then the competitors would have if you finished a tournament, you'd get a chance to win it. So I wonder if that might be where a few of these coming into the economy are. But then also there's been weird things, like a few of my readers have said they've seen trading card game mounts come into the economy, like, on multiple servers for the exact same, like, really strange, like, gold amount. So, like, all posted on multiple servers. So, what you had said you wanted to, you've been playing around a little bit with that. What have you been up to in there?
Yeah, in the past, I've never really done any large investments or flipping, but recently on Argendon, we're a pretty big server, we're a role-playing server, so it's not unheard of to see TCG items on our auction house. But it's also not very common either. And so a couple weeks back, I noticed that that several appeared all at once. There was a non-epic Spectral Tiger, a Big Battle Bear, a Blazing Hippogriff, and an Amani Dragonhawk. And those all ended up being bought out, and I don't think I bought any of those. But but basically, so those all went, and then like a week later, the same one of each of the same just popped up again from the same person. And then a week later, I'm not saying it's not an exact week, but roughly about a week later, someone else popped up selling all of these for similar prices. And so basically, it's become a fairly common thing now, all of a sudden, just within the past couple weeks, to see all sorts of different TCG mounts on the auction house. And so it's kind of weird, because I'm like, ooh, I kind of want to buy some of these to flip, because they're generally decent prices. They're like model Drakes for $70,000 when I can usually flip them for $110,000, etc. There was a Reigns of the Crimson Death Charger for $42,000 that I flipped for $55,000. But basically, so all of these trading card game mounts are popping up, and so it's kind of an interesting thing, because I've never really worked with large investments, so it's been a really interesting situation, although often I keep buying them and then learning them instead of buying them. But hey, I've got an X51 Nether Rocket Extreme now, so I'm pretty happy. It's like my favorite TCG mount, and it popped up the other day for $150,000. The guy who sold it to me said that he actually bought it for $99,000 earlier that day and was flipping it to me, and I'm like, I don't care, it's a cool mount, I'll take it.
Is that the one that looks like a goblin explosive rocket kind of thing?
Yeah, that's the one. It looks like the love rocket from the Valentine's Day event, but it's red instead of pink.
Awesome.
The cool thing about it is it actually scales down to being a land mount, so I can ride around in Firelands with it during raids. So that's why I like it.
You're like, I think your fuse is on fire. It's going to explode. Yeah, the Love Rocket was one I thought was pretty funny as well. There's a guy in the Fireland dailies that pops up onto the...
Is it Johnny Rock? Not Johnny. Hold on a second.
Johnny, what's the Blood Elf guy's name that's like got the yellow hair and he's like, he's in the Horde starting zone.
I know who you're talking about. It's like, I want to say like Johnny Awesome or something.
Yeah. I think him or somebody else.
Love that quest.
Him or somebody else when you get your companions for killing the four guys in the Fireland area, one of them pops up onto a pink rocket when you're flying around. So I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
I do. It's just been so long since I've done those dailies, and I'm like, oh yeah, I did those a couple months ago.
Yeah, I never actually even finished. I finished them to the point to get the patterns, but I actually need to look back into selling those scopes and stuff like that. But yeah, I never like got far enough to get the mounts or anything like that.
I actually just finished that the other day. I quit because I was just so burnt out on them as soon as I got the mount. But I just barely went back and finished getting the title, so I am done in there. Thank God.
Yeah, for me, like a lot of my time lately has been split between doing the Headless Horseman and the Brewfest. Kind of always come like right after each other, and both have mounts that. You know, Brewfest is a little bit better than Headless Horseman, but Headless Horseman, yeah, logging in day after day and doing 10 different characters, you know, you just spend a lot of your time doing that. All right, well, let's move on to the other thing that you wanted to talk about, which was some of your experiences in the glyph market on Argent Dawn. So what's been going on there?
Don't worry, it's not going to be about a 30 gold glyph ceiling this time. Basically, first let me summarize what happened with that, because I imagine some people are listening who don't follow my blog. You should follow my blog. Basically, I just kind of eventually got bored. I knew it was going to happen eventually, sooner or later. Happened sooner rather than later. So I quit doing the 30 gold glyph ceiling, and I got the prices raised back up to normal. I didn't take the opportunity to gouge or anything like that. Just went back up to normal. And I had this issue because I was able to chase one guy away, and his character name was, I pronounce it Vase. I don't know if that's how it's actually pronounced, but anyways. So there was this character named Vase, and who I had successfully chased him out for quite a while with the 30 gold glyph ceiling. I came back, though, and there was this other guy who we will call Competitor. And,
Mr. Black.
Yes. But anyways, Competitor was... He wasn't botting. I could tell that he was a legitimate player, but he basically was an annoyance for me because he was just as tenacious with the glyph market as I was. And so I was thinking, I actually, during BlizzCon, I did the BlizzCon 10 gold special, and every glyph was 10 gold or less, and my intent was just to get out of the glyph market. And someone else, who I'd, like, never talked to, whispered me, and they're like, why didn't you just ask a competitor to buy you out? And I'm like, because I'm not that smart.
I actually tried doing that with unsolicited CODs. I don't know if you remember that story. I tried selling them all for 10 gold each, but the guy sent them back and said, I don't know why you sent me these. Sorry.
Anyways, but basically, you know, it's like, of course I would have preferred to just sell out to someone else, but I've always been really, really wary about approaching competitors for any reason. Because when people approach me, I think about how I view the person who approaches me. I'm like, either they're usually rude to me, they're angry and noobish, or they are...
I am
are...
the egg pimp.
Yes, the egg pimp. That was they're my favorite story pimps. You've ever had. or they're basically showing me how weak their operation is. They're like, you know, if they're like, I can't compete with you, and they're usually like, this is why, or, you know, they're trying to make deals, which basically makes it obvious that I'm winning, mm-hmm. and that I'm close to breaking them, so to speak.
I would break you.
Yeah, so that's pretty much why I don't like to approach my competitors, because I'm just afraid that they're going to see me that way. So that's why I didn't try and get someone to buy me out, but I thought about it more and more, and I'm like, I really do like the gold that I get from glyphs, I just don't like all the effort that I have to spend. Dealing with, yeah, I want all the rewards.
No, I understand what you mean. It just sounds funny. The glyph market is brutal sometimes. I understand.
But the only issue was this guy who we're still calling competitor, who was constantly giving me crap about it. He was constantly undercutting me, and I was constantly undercutting him. And I'm like, you know what? It's time for a change. So I actually whispered to him, and I'm like, hey, do you have a moment to discuss something? He's like, yeah. And we basically. He was a really nice guy, very well-spoken. You know, it's the best possible outcome I could experience from talking to a competitor, I think. And we came up with this plan, which is kind of basically where we've made a deal to alternate posting times, as in I'll post for this amount of time and you don't undercut me. Then I'll pull everything off the auction house. You can post and I won't undercut you. Mm. And that worked really well. It actually was great because... Before, on, like, a good day, I'd make, like, $10,000 a day. But doing this, I was making, like, $30,000 every, like, other day. Mm. So it all worked out.
You increased your amount by $5,000 a day?
Yeah, just because because I'd never had to share my sales with him on the days that I mm-hmm. did sell.
Yeah.
So, and I also cut down significantly on the amount of time I had to spend on the auction house dealing with making this gold. So it was just a great turnout for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is... As of 2 days ago, Vase is back, the guy that I originally did the 30 gold glyph sealing to try and bully out of the market.
Hmm.
And the thing is, what's really cool about this is before, when I did this before the 30 gold glyph sealing, I just felt completely lost. I'm like, I hate this guy. I hate what he's doing to my markets. And so I just, you know, I was completely irrational and I did the 30 gold glyph sealing. And I just was like, I'm just going to, if I can't have fun, no one else can.
You know, I'm in all your Cheerios.
I'm not going to lie. It was a childish, but still fun thing to do. Oh, I don't regret what I did at all.
Sounds like
it was childish, but I don't regret it. So, but
it's just
anyways.
Business, not personal. It's just business.
But anyways, so before I just like, I had no idea what to do. I felt powerless to stop this guy because this guy, Vase, we are pretty confident that he is doing something he's not supposed to be doing, being a botting, account sharing, etc. Because he's on undercutting it with a ridiculous inhuman speed for like 23 hours a day. So there's no way he's doing it legitimately. So, but basically, now that I've got this guy who we were calling competitor, who we will now call ally. Now that I've got
Mr. White.
Yeah, we talk like every day and basically we haven't come out with a great plan. We've got some stuff in the works, which I'm not going to say here because it's still, you know.
You guys remind me, you remind me of the South Park episode when they try to make money stealing people's tooth fairy money. Do you remember that one? And they run into someone's territory. Hey, you can't be in my territory. And he's got like the mafia guy that has a whole racket with teeth fairy teeth. So, yeah. Okay, so you...
So right. Basically, like, I feel a lot more powerful to stop this guy. I'm not sure how much effect we'll have, but basically kind of like, now that I feel I've got a friend working with me who understands and who, like, basically I have double the manpower now to fight this water. It's just like, I feel so much better in the glyph market now. Even on the days that I'm really frustrated, I'm like, but that's cool because I've got a friend in the glyph market.
You've got a friend in the diamond business. Yeah. No! Shane cannot be part of the Powered Gold podcast!
But,
Fade Co. You're going to get your girlfriend, your boyfriend, the right glyph. You go to Fade Co. You've got a friend in the glyph business.
So that's what I've been... We've just been trying to fight this vase guy, That's kind of been what's going on in the glyph market for me, but it was just really interesting for me because before I'd been so scared to approach competitors, and I still, you know, I'm not out, you know, getting buddy-buddy with everyone who ever undercuts me.
Yeah.
But it really made me think, because a lot of times I view, if they're not competing with me very well, I kind of view them as people who don't know what they're doing and who aren't worth talking to. And if they're competing on the same level or higher than me, I kind of view them as people who are probably botting, blah, 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 horrible people. So it was nice to actually
Nobody can ever have not a life, as much not a life as me.
That's actually what I said. I was like, I'm like, if you can compete with me on no life or status, you've got a serious issue. So,
how do you kill that which has no life?
Pretty much. Mm. So it's been a really interesting situation to be talking to a competitor so openly.
That's cool. Yeah, I have one guy because he's on my friends list on my glyph seller. Had an experience where I was able to work with somebody on the it was like we started out working together on the the more mysterious fortune cards, trying to work those out. And, you know, so over time, and he's in a guild that I used to be in, although I didn't know him at the time. So it is nice to be able to kind of chat with people, even, you know, about your competition. Cause I've said, you know, hey, you know, is so-and-so, you know, on, and like, yeah, I think they're on an alt and that kind of stuff. Although, you know, we tend not to, it's just nice to have another person to, to help. And then the other one I have is not as much. I've only communicated with them a few times. I've talked about them a lot on the podcast. They're the kind of person that kind of gardener that tends at one point did tend the uncut, uncommon gem market. And, you know, talking to them here and there is, you know, you understand, just like what you said, you understand, what they're going through. And then I think it was rules. I could be wrong, but I think it was either on our podcast. I think on our podcast, once we had somebody talking about whitelisting on, Trade Skill Master to help match prices, whitelisting somebody matches their price and doesn't undercut them. So they were saying how they had also had, a situation like that, that works out. When it works out, it works out. It's great. Unfortunately, you know, if the situation isn't right, since there's nothing constraining, you know, anybody else from either going no life or status or botting or everything, then, you know, but well, awesome. Thank you for sharing that experience. How do you think, what do you think you, when you say you were used to be afraid and now you're not afraid as much about stuff because of the 30 glyph ceiling, what do you mean by that? What did that really teach you that you're more confident in now, or how did that help you?
Well, basically from the 30 gold glyph ceiling, I really learned more about how other people view market tending for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who just brutally undercut on Argent Dawn, who clearly don't care how much profit they're going to make. They just will. They probably have a threshold of one copper, honestly,
mm-hmm.
from the way they undercut. And which is, I mean, that's fine with me.
Now, when
and
you say brutally undercut, oh, you mean your threshold, meaning the lowest that they can go. Oh, okay. I got confused with undercut. Okay. Undercut amounts.
Basically, what I mean by brutally undercut is they don't care when what they're undercutting to. They'll only do like
I gotcha.
You post something for 10, they'll post.
Kind of like the guy that I ran into who sold Netherweave bags, but he didn't care how much he sold them for because he was doing it just to piss somebody off.
So, you know, I learned about those kind of people. And then there's also the people, there's this other guy who I've never spoken to. He seems, you know, seems like a pretty smart guy. I don't know him, but it's a druid.
He's probably good looking. Probably good looking.
Probably has a pretty good job, you know. But,
works anyways. In finance. It seems like that was the guy who was like, I work in finance.
Anyways, his character's name is like Enos or something like that. And it's kind of weird to watch him post because he only posts for 81 gold, 99 silver, 99 copper. No matter what else is up, if he's the only one posting or if there's a million people posting at 20 gold, he always posts one glyph at 81 gold, 99 silver, 99 copper. And it's just, it was so interesting to look at the different ways that people deal with the same market and how many different kinds of sellers you can get. And so, like, it was fun to try and, you know, just watch the way different sellers act and stuff. It was just really interesting. So.
And that got you, yeah, I could see, you know, plus it got you more used to, you were probably, I think you said you were selling more, you were churning more glyphs than you ever had before as far as the volume that you had to go through. So I'm sure it's nice now that you don't have that much volume, but you know, you could at least.
I actually do have more volume. I actually have 20 of every glyph on Lion side and 10 of every glyph on the Horde side right now that I'm dealing with. So, and I restock every 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually because of the deals that I've got going on with Ally. Mm-hmm. It's the most profitable glyphs have ever been for me. So, I'm keeping the stock up now. Basically, what was I gonna say? I totally forgot here. Oh, I'll remember. Right when we go on to the next topic, I'm going to remember.
Well, while you're thinking about that, I'll bring up a point that I thought was kind of interesting. I also run a few glyphs on Hordes. I run mainly on Alliance side, but I did send myself over some Unleashed Lightning glyphs when they had first come out, and I've had that same stock of those, and it is really strange that, like, on the Alliance side, it always seemed like there was multiple competitors, but I'll go on, you know, especially when you're doing daily quests for, because I was logging in every day to do the mount quests for the holidays. Like, sometimes there would be no glyph of Unleashed Lightnings up on the whole auction house. And to me, that's like, what? Like, the little guys from, you know, Despicable Me, what? Like, what the heck? Like, there's no Unleashed Lightnings. And I'm like, bam, I'm like, okay, I'll... And I sold them for, like, I think if there's none, I would post them for like 160 or, you know, if they're, you know. So still, it was just amazing that there's these gaps popping up, because on the Alliance side, there would never be a gap of like a glyph to the point where there's none on there. So it is strange that there's like markets that, you know, maybe like most people got pushed out and then the person that pushed them all out quit playing too. And, you know, it's just amazing to think about all the different servers and all the different sides on the servers, and I think that's the thing about gold making, that it never gets old. You can never beat gold making. There'll always be some sort of thing to, you know, new thing that will pop up, not necessarily even new things, but just knowing like, oh wow, you know, there's almost no competition on the Horde side. I'm gonna go over there and send some glyphs over there and see how it does. And then you were going to think about if you remembered what you were going to say, but I'm guessing you didn't remember what you were going
to
say.
No, I didn't, but you did remind me to mention my Horde glyph situation. Basically, on Horde, the glyphs that I, like, the most that you'll ever see a glyph for Alliance side, generally speaking, is like 130 gold, because there's just so much competition, it won't stay up there very long.
Mm-hmm.
On Horde side, there seems to be one or two competitors who really tend the market pretty well, and glyphs end up around 375 gold apiece.
Gee, meaning Christmas.
Which is ridiculous to me. I'm not saying they shouldn't be charging that much. If people are going to pay it, then they might as well charge it. But it's just, it's so interesting to see how starkly different the same servers' auction houses are, just because they're cross-faction.
Mm-hmm.
So, but basically what I did was I went and I got a lot of glyphs over on the Horde side, and I posted them all for 125 gold apiece. Just to piss people off. Not actually just to piss people off. It's because I think that's a good... That's the price I want to charge.
My level... My person that was leveling recently, my characters that have been leveling, luckily for me, somebody had 28 gold glyphs on the auction house, because if I hit level 15 or 25, I think maybe whatever you get glyphs, 25, and there were 300 gold, I just wouldn't have glyphs for first, like, ever.
Yeah, I wasn't like, my intent on Horde wasn't to crash the market or anything like I did with the 30 gold glyph ceiling, just, you know, to charge what I thought was a good price that they'd sell at. And it's interesting because I'll go without being undercut for hours and I'll still only sell like 2 glyphs. It's just people on Horde don't buy glyphs. I think they're so used to such a high price that they consider glyphs an item that they shouldn't buy, and they go to their guild members to make them or something.
Yeah.
Well, in Alliance, because prices have been so low for so long, it's more acceptable to just go buy a glyph. Mm-hmm. It's more in the mind that's how you get glyphs. You get glyphs on the auction house. Forward, it's like, if you don't want to be broke, you better find someone to make that glyph for you.
Want to buy want to buy Inscriptionist to help me make glyphs. What was I going to say? I was going to say something.
Now you forgot too.
No. Is that all you wanted to say about glyphs? Because I have another topic if you wanted.
I think so. I could rant about glyphs.
Okay. You just stopped like suddenly, and I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can say over.
So one of the things I've been doing since I kind of like slowed down on the blog, with only limited time to play, is really trying to find stuff that I can play, I can do on my own, without any sort of time structure or anything like that. And so I've been playing through leveling up alternate characters. I talked about I leveled up Karanta on Fade server, Argent Dawn. I was Alliance up to level 57, and then I was leveling up my a rogue on leveling all Karanta. Only got leveled through Kalimdor zones, and then my rogue, Blood Elf rogue, only got leveled through Eastern Kingdoms zones. But the thing that I thought was really interesting was how much gold I made on my character as I was leveling them up from 1 to, I think by the time she was 30 or 25, she had almost 3,000 gold, which seems like a lot, I would imagine. And the funny thing, and so I wanted to share a few tidbits and tips with that I experienced, because I was playing this character day after day after day. I had no heirlooms. It was on a completely different server. I did get like, I think I got like 20 gold I had sent from a character that I ended up giving back, you know, within a short amount of time. But other than that, no heirlooms. You know, I'm just questing. And so the few tidbits for people that start character like Blood Elves or Undeads or, I know they're going to kind of sound simple, but, she was a leather worker and a skinner. She's a Blood Elf, and she was only doing Eastern Kingdoms, meaning that after about 25, she ended up living in Undercity. And doing the cooking quests every day, getting your token, going to the vendor, buying the mysterious goods, I think, the bag, opening it up, getting out your 40, usually there's 40 cocoa beans, and selling them on the auction house. I'm selling them consistently on 10 stacks for like gold 79 each bean. So that's, you know, 40 times 1.7, which is like 70 gold a day or something like that. But the thing that really surprised me was leatherworking items and also skins or hides. Leatherworking hides like tended to go for a good amount. The one that really, really surprised me the most was Barbaric Bracers. It's a item you can make in low level leatherworking. It's blue. I think it's level 29. It's a leather item with agility and strength. I'm guessing that it probably gets sold for people that are twinking, although I don't really know that people do that. I'm guessing but I put my first one up and it sold, my first Barbaric Bracers, and they sold for 170 gold, I think.
Not bad.
I'm like, okay. I'm going to try selling the next ones for like 250 gold, and they sold. And I was like, okay. And I'm like, I'm going to put the next ones up for 325. And they sold. And I'm like, just wondering, like, you know, it's weird, like, to think about how there's these really weird items along the way that, you know, because I was leveling up leatherworking, selling off the items, leveling up, selling off any blue items, I would sell for, you know, 45, 50 gold or drop down if I needed to. But those barbaric bracers are really interesting. And so every time I go to the auction house now, I open up my, trade skill window for leatherworking. I click on barbaric bracers. I click the little auctionator AH button that then goes and searches for all of it. And so it's not even that the mats are really that hard to find. The sharp claws, I think, is sharp teeth. I think sharp claws are, or not, sorry, large
fangs.
Yeah, maybe that was what it was. Aren't really necessarily that common. Then it's like some pearls and there's some hides that are actually hard sometimes. But all the hides, like in the vanilla areas, I was selling them for like 6 gold a piece and they were selling and 3 or 4 gold. So, you know, it was just surprising to me that you could make so much gold off of just stuff. And the other thing that's actually surprised me is 10 slot bags. I think they're called large something bags. You buy them from the vendor for like 1 gold 20 each. They're 10 slots. I've been selling them on the auction house for 12 gold. They keep selling. Nice. I think I talked about this in our last podcast, but the sun-touched or sun-cured bracers, chest, legs that are from this Blood Elf starting area have been selling still for 2 gold 40 or 2 gold 75 apiece. So it just goes to show you that even if you're low level, if you just keep, you know, selling stuff. I mean, granted, it's a RP server, so I would imagine that the sun touched stuff might only really sell well there because it looks like Blood Elf, really nice Blood Elf clothes, and there's RP people, you know, buying them for that. But it's just been a, you know, pretty amazing to me that I think she's probably almost at 6,000 gold now, and she's level 70. No, she's level 60. And she's doing all of Outlands with only a land mount. Haha. That was my decision. I like putting these weird restrictions. I mean, it's not really that weird of a restriction, but I decided to push her into Outlands and she can only use a land mount. She doesn't even have flying because otherwise she'd just fly to this quest area, fly over here, kill this guy, fly over here, kill this guy. But I'm doing it old school. So, sorry, did you want to say something in there? I thought you might have. I might have heard you.
Not in particular. I was just gonna say that it's, once you know how to make gold, like, you can't really help but make gold. I've noticed this whenever I've, like, rolled alts and stuff. It's like, I'm level 10. How did I end up with 700 gold? I have no idea how, but okay. It's just like, once you know how to do it, it's hard not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a message from somebody on YouTube, actually, that was saying, I leveled up 10 characters to 85, but now I'm, like, kind of bummed out, so I decided to go to level cap, and I need help. So, you know, there's definitely people out there who, you know, are looking for kind of, you know, looking for ways, obviously, and that's the whole reason why I started a blog. I'm pretty sure that's the reason why you write about, you know, gold making and stuff like that, is that there's people out there who, you know, want to hit cap or want to learn how to do it, and so it's just the responsibility of us, I guess, to figure out the best ways that we can do to, you know, to help them out. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to go into my NPR, this American Life. All things considered. Yeah, I think
I've been on Reddit too much. Consider all the things is what I was going to say.
Is that an actual meme? Because if not, you definitely need to make that and put that up.
Yeah, I've seen it posted way too many times.
Consider all the things. Yeah. Oh, and also, yeah, so if you haven't been sucked into Reddit yet, I should say, we do have a subreddit for gold making, and that's reddit.com/r/. Here, let me do it in my NPR voice. That's reddit.com/r/. Wow, gold making. So, I don't know. Do you have anything else that comes to mind that you want to talk about in this episode of the podcast, Faye?
Not in particular. That wouldn't make it a whole nother podcast on top. I've been getting, you know, more into Chord, and then so I've been looking at different arbitrage. But like basically, it's kind of hard for me to talk about gold making because it's like. I do stuff that's new to me, but not really a new concept to most people. So it's kind of tough for me to make an interesting conversation for gold making, I suppose.
Well, we are one of the longest running gold making podcasts. We are also one of only two current gold making podcasts. But yeah, we like to.
My YouTube channel got 300 subscribers, so thanks for that. I do gold making videos. It used to be kind of an all-purpose YouTube channel, but now it's only for WoW gold making. So it's youtube.com/fadetastic, FAIDTASTIC.
Wow, 300. That's awesome. You kicked my butt, like, big time. I only got 161. That's right. I don't put out as many cool videos as you do. You got the video thing going on. So
I try. It's kind of weird to go back and look at the first videos because you can see like ridiculous amounts of improvement as time goes on with my videos through like editing and stuff. Not that there any of them are amazing, but it's like this most recent Gold Rush was the first one. Gold Rush, by the way, series dedicated to making gold in 15 minutes or less. But anyways, in the last Gold Rush, I went through and I cleaned up the audio a lot more than I usually do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like each one gets a little bit cleaner and more professional than the last. It's kind of fun to watch them all.
Awesome. Congratulations. What was I going to say? I was going to say... Also, do you want to talk a little bit about your other channel? Because I like... I'm subscribed to your other channel as well, and whenever you upload a video, I get an email.
Mm-hmm.
So it was funny one day seeing like 20 emails. I'm like, wow, Fade's uploading a lot of stuff. So what's your other channel and what are you doing there?
Yeah, the other channel is Fade Plays, which is just what it sounds like, FAIDPLAYS. Basically, what I did was, like I said, the Fadetastic channel used to be all-purpose. I'd put up any video about gaming, but I wanted to separate non-gold making from gold making, because I hate it when like I'm subscribed to someone and they keep uploading crap I don't care about because I subscribed to them for one game and they're uploading 10 games. So basically I made this other channel, which is more of a catch-all for other games like Minecraft and Let's Plays and all that sort of things. I don't tend to upload very often, but when I do, I upload a ton of content just because the videos tend to be really long, and I can't really upload at my house. So I have to like go to the university and do huge chunk uploads. But basically what's on the channel right now is basically a bunch of Let's Plays. I did some Minecraft pre-release stuff. And what I'm most proud of is I did an entire Let's Play with my boyfriend joining me for the commentary of Penumbra Black Plague, which in case you guys don't know, it's made by the same company that made Amnesia, which is like one of the most favorited, horror video games that's come out like ever recently.
The one that made that makes YouTube people cry and scream.
Penumbra was actually scarier in my opinion, so I have a whole Let's Play of Penumbra up. You can watch
how many total hours is that?
It was 4 hours, I think. Okay. 4 hours of video. It's in 10 to 15 minute chunks. Luckily, I just barely got approved for longer videos.
Congratulations.
Hopefully it won't be in chunks in the future, but but right now it's in chunks, sorry. But I made sure that they all link to one another, so it's not hard to find. But it's really fun. Like, the game was amazing. I think the studio makes great games, and they were just on sale on Steam, actually. I tweeted about it, and it was in my most recent blog post.
Did you hear that company that makes that game? You should hire Fade to work on your videos for your company.
So, Amnesia and the Penumbra games, totally awesome. And so I've got a Let's Play of Penumbra Black Plague up there, which is, you can watch, and then Minecraft. And I've actually been recording some more Minecraft Let's Plays, but none of them are really up, because I keep, like, I'm trying to do Skyblock, which is a challenge map, which is pretty insane. But basically, you only have one source block of water and one source block of lava to start with, and I keep accidentally destroying one. So I have to start the map over.
You don't make, like, an infinite supply instead?
Well, you can't with one block.
Oh.
So.
Can't you make it flow and then make it copy?
No, you have to take it out of the source. You can't take it out of a spring block.
So now we're talking about stuff that isn't related. Yeah. Talking about Minecraft, you maybe want to go play Minecraft. So.
Yeah, I just got this nice texture pack. Looks great.
Just got this nice...
There's something about gold making to mention, by the way, is about 2, maybe 3 weeks ago, a lot of the add-ons that dealt with guild bank inventory management just, like, completely crapped out. Bank Stack, Mr. Plow, Dumpster, all of these just, like, started breaking all of a sudden after an update. Blizzard hasn't said why, and they haven't said when they're going to fix it, or even if they will. So right now there's, like, some of the add-ons have updated, but none of them are really very great for it. Bankstack has an update that allows you to throttle for guilds, so I recommend that. That's what I've been using. Mm-hmm. But damn, it's inconvenient.
You make me click with getting you're giving Fade carpal tunnel syndrome, Blizzard.
Pretty much.
I'm clicking all the stacks. So, all right. Well, I think that is gonna wrap it up for episode 21. If you want to find Power Gold, you can find us at powerwordgold.net. Twitter at PowerGold, Facebook.com/PowerGold. We need to make a song.
Jingle.
Yeah, Google Plus. Follow us at PoweredGold.net and Twitter. So, our YouTube channel's actually... I don't have YouTube up there. I need to make YouTube up there. Also, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and every kind of thing like that. I just wanted to... Yeah, I think that's it. Fade, do you want to give your little deets, even though you talked a little bit about it already?
Nerffades.blogspot.com. That's nerffaides.blogspot.com. And then on Twitter and on YouTube, I'm Fadetastic, FAIDTASTIC.
Yes.
And then Fade Plays is the other YouTube channel.
Nice. I was going to tell you, I copied you. I don't know if you ever noticed that all on Twitter, it'll actually say what service people use to do their tweets, or not what service, but what client or whatever. So I have been using Seismic Desktop 2 for like ever, and I loved it, but they recently updated it and like screwed it up to the point where it doesn't show like how many characters your tweet has, which is very inconvenient for me because I keep all my tweets under 120 characters, and it also doesn't work right for making bit.ly links. And anyways, so I tried Silverbird, so that's mm-hmm. the one you used because I saw that you'd use that. So I like it. It's an in Chrome kind of Twitter add-on thing, so that you can see and tweet straight from there, and it lets me use my bit.ly. I have my bit.ly account, and I have, I don't know if people know, but you can basically put your key, you get like this code, and you can put your username in that way. Any bit.ly links you send out through, sounds incredibly nerdy, any bit.ly links you link out of wherever will actually be linked to your account. So anyways, yeah, Silverbird for people that want to
follow us on Twitter and learn all about WoW gold making.
All right, well, I think if there's nothing else, that's going to be it for me. Fade?
That's pretty much it for me as well.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we will see you next time.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye. Music for this episode of the Power Gold Podcast includes
The Unrivaled Times, Escaping Nowhere, and Divided Paths by the band The Horror Cast from the album Cities of Deception. If you'd like to find out more about The Horror Cast, head to thehorrorcast.bandcamp.com. All music was used under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. To learn more about Creative Commons licensing, head to creativecommons.org.